Greetings. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I am a pastor and teacher, author, entrepreneur, father, husband, grandfather, and host of the Shadows Project podcast. Throughout my 50 years of Christian ministry, prison ministry and criminal justice reform has by far been the most challenging. On this podcast, we will uncover the critical truths and justifications regarding prison ministry and criminal justice, and why it is important to the church and to our communities for engagement. Join me in hopes of spreading more awareness and recognition to this overlooked and mostly abandoned church ministry on the Shadows Project podcast. Greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ and co-workers in kingdom building. I pray that all is well with you, your family, and your ministry during these challenging and changing times. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I serve as the organizer, pastor, senior pastor, and teacher of the Greater First Church Baptist, located in Baker or North Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I have also served as senior pastor and teacher to three other churches in Chicago and Danville, Illinois, and Gary, Indiana, before being called to pastor the Mount Zion First Baptist Church to fill the pastoral vacancy after the retirement of Reverend Dr. T.J. Jemison in downtown Baton Rouge. I'm also the chairman and CEO of Reclamation and Restoration Ministries Incorporated, which is a 501c3 nonprofit public charity organized in Gary, Indiana in 1996. RRM's mission focuses on positive youth development, strengthening families, and creating safer communities. As I shared before, I graduated from Trinity College, located in Deerfield, Illinois, earning the Bachelor of Arts degree and earning the Master of Divinity degree from Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary, located on the campus of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. I have personally been involved in Christian ministry for nearly 50 years as a licentiate minister, 43 years as an ordained minister, 40 years as a pastor and teacher, and over 25 years as a jail chaplain, state prison clinical chaplain, a state director of prison fellowship ministries, and 17 of those years as the founding former national director of the Prison Ministry and Criminal Justice Commission of the National Baptist Convention, USA Incorporated. And I've created from these evidence-based experiences five books that I have authored, which serve as training resources to help churches to equip volunteers who will boldly and proudly serve in a ministry to regenerate, reclaim, and restore prisoners to their families and their communities. I will share more information about my book publications and training materials at the end of this podcast. To schedule an on-site four-hour prison ministry and criminal justice training workshop conducted by Reverend Anthony Kelly at your local church, please click on the DocuSign document to review training outline and associated costs on our website at www.rrministriesinc.org. I'd like to welcome you to episode number 2. It's entitled Credentials, Volunteer Orientation, Training, and Certification. Subsequently, I will be presenting 11 additional prison ministry and criminal justice training episodes which address this most significant and urgent call for the church to provide bold new leadership and redirected service for engagement in prison ministry and criminal justice challenges. The complete training package consists of a 200-plus color-page PowerPoint presentation that can be used in perpetuity to recruit, train, and enlist your members and volunteers for ministry in our nation's jails and prisons. In fact, some of you may be wondering why I call this podcast The Shadows Project. It's reflective of my new book titled Shadows, serving with character, competence, commitment, and pride in the absence of accolades and recognition. This characterization reflects the nature and essence of working in jails and prisons. The book is designed to inform, enlighten, equip, and encourage serving leaders and Christian workers who serve in the shadows of greatness of others in various forms of ministry to continue to serve with character, competence, commitment, and pride in the absence of accolades, appreciation, celebration, recognition, and even financial compensation. There are three important kingdom principles also presented in the book Shadows. Number one, being willing to serve at the lowest level. And that's taken from John chapter 13 when Jesus girds himself with a towel and he goes around to his disciples with a basin or pail of water and begins to wash their feet. And Peter responds, "No, I can't let you do this, Master. This is below you. I can't allow you to do this." And Jesus said, "Let me do this, Peter. You understand the meaning of it later on. Because if you don't let me do this, you can't be a part of my kingdom." And of course, Peter, still not understanding, cries out, "Lord, well, don't just bathe my feet, wash my hands, the head, everything else." And Jesus, again, is letting them know that true ministry is willing to serve at the lowest level. Now, this test also reflects character as the right manner in terms of acts of care and compassion. It shows you have to care about people if you're going to minister to them. It's beyond our obligation of duty. True ministry becomes our moral responsibility. The second kingdom principle in the book is willingness to serve where one is needed and not where one desires to serve. And this is important in working in jails and prisons because prison chaplains operate based upon satisfying the needs of the religious program. And if you already have your program laid out and structured, and for example, that you know you want to do a discipleship training at the prison, and the facility may already have that, may have three or four churches lined up doing that. So that's not a need. And of course, the chaplain would close the door on that particular ministry. And so in dealing with the notion of servanthood, one must be willing to serve where one is needed. And of course, the opposite of that, if you're not willing to serve where you're needed, then you're not needed to serve. The third servant leadership understanding, or the kingdom principle, is that servant leadership appointments are not based upon favoritism, but always based upon fitness. And that reflects the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 32 and following, when James and John comes to Jesus and wants to sit one on his left and his right when he enters the kingdom, when he celebrates his messiahship in Jerusalem. And Jesus, of course, looked at him and said, "Are you really able to drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism of which I am baptized?" Speaking, of course, of his sacrificial and martyred death on Calvary's cross. Jesus knew that they were not really able to fulfill that requirement. Just because you're part of Jesus' inner circle, because you've had been privileged to be with him on special occasions of ministry, and you've walked with him and talked to him, that don't qualify you to be sitting on seats in the kingdom. Fitness is always the quality that determines whether one should serve in the master's kingdom. That's why we talk about character. We talk about competence. We talk about commitment as being necessary entities, as being part of one's fitness for ministry. Not favoritism, not about friends, but about people who are fit to serve. And this principle teaches that competency is the right method. Yes. In fact, I have always believed and taught thousands of volunteers in national and state congresses of Christian education and church-sponsored workshops that prison ministry must be understood holistically. That is, it involves crime prevention and violence reduction, family preservation, in-prison ministry, and the community reentry programs and strategies that addresses the disenfranchisement of too many returning citizens. In fact, each approach and stage of ministry is significant. And as Martin Luther King Jr. would say, they are indissolubly bound and irrevocably linked together in order to make our communities whole. Thus, prison ministry seeks to bring the light of hope in dark dungeons of despair. As seen in many of our nation's prisons, many prisoners are caught in the cage of complacency and need bold, committed, and daring believers, that is, members of God's church, to meet prisoners where they are and help them to move from brokenness to wholeness, from indecision to decision, from no direction to a new direction, from desperation and despair to a new destiny of meaningful and purposeful existence. Our churches, too, must move from being stationary to truly becoming missionary. Prison ministry reminds prisoners that there is a way out of their predicament of incarceration, both mentally and existentially. Prison ministry brings and ensures that hope and humanity remain behind, within, and around the prison walls. Prison ministry reminds all of us that every human person is redeemable because there is grace enough to save the worst of us. Prison ministry is a reminder that there is still hope in and commitment to the regeneration, reclamation, and restoration of prisoners to their children, their families, and, of course, their communities. Finally, in the third episode of my Shadows Project podcast, I will be presenting evidence-based preparatory strategies on how to get started in the local church, and I'll be sharing more of that with you. But now let's look at this module or this episode number two that deals with credentials, volunteer orientation, training, and certification. Just having a desire to engage in prison ministry is not enough. It does not equip one. You may have your Bible in your hand. You might be an extraordinary prayer person, but that does not necessarily equip you to engage in a ministry in jails and prisons. And so the first thing that one has to answer, or the question is, what manner of person is the volunteer that we're looking for? Well, first of all, that person must be genuine in motivation. One must have the proper motives, if you will, for ministry. I mean, you have to ask this person, why do you want to do this? Because you'll be amazed at the different levels and different strategies behind getting involved in prison ministry that are not always just, are not always in keeping with the principles of faith. And so you got to really weed out people in terms of the proper motivation for engagement. And that motivation, of course, must include really being able to care for people, recognizing their brokenness, their sinfulness, coming believing that you have been called to this prison ministry and want to make a difference. And so that person must also be genuine in preparation. One must prepare for and order to meet the challenges of the ministry. One must be studious. And so there has to be training. There has to be orientation that the volunteer must experience and must successfully pass in order to engage in this extraordinary work. And then I found that's really important. And these three points are in my book, Jailhouse Religion. In fact, it's the first publication by the Sunday School Publishing Board that our Congress has embraced, and that is one must be genuine in response. And that's from the book Jailhouse Religion. One must have a heart for ministry and not quit when the going gets rough. That's what I mean when I talk about one being called to the ministry. And you'll be amazed. Not everyone is equipped. Not everyone have the right motivation. Not everyone has a real genuine commitment to this work. And yet you'll find those persons who really feel they have been called by God to engage in this work and who are then willing to be trained and to get prepared for this extraordinary challenge to make human life more human. Well, as a part of this orientation and training, one must understand that the chaplain of the correctional institution is the key player. You church people will understand it more as he's like the pastor. He overlooks the flock. The chaplain in state and federal institutions does not promote or side with any particular religion. His role is to facilitate the religious experience of those prisoners who are there based upon the accepted religious practices of that facility. And so the chaplain is the key player in terms of worship and praise ministry, in terms of your church getting engaged in group Bible study and fellowships, local church religious materials being donated. The chaplain oversees one-on-one counseling and care, even a pen pal writing ministry. Also, local church mentors. The chaplain is his key player in terms of assisting in pre-release training seminars, some directed in terms of manhood training, fatherhood training, and of course with our females to deal with their particular issues and needs. And it's important to minister to prisoners, which is really the key to this whole presentation in terms of ministering to them while they are in prison in order to help get them ready upon their release to return to their families, their churches even, and their communities. Family and marriage enrichment seminars, life coping parenting skills development, seminars especially designed for female prisoners, transportation ministry, even a visiting room ministry is possible in some prison facilities. And so you got to work that out with the chaplain in terms of, again, remember the key point is finding out what is the need, what is the religious programming need that the chaplain has. The volunteer must also understand the prisoner society. Got to understand the nature of jail and prison life, the interaction that goes on between prisoners. And there are some key points just to share with you a few here. One is that you don't interfere with another prisoner's interest. Don't get in his business. You see nothing, you know nothing, you leave others alone. And let me turn this around. This is principally the modus operandi of prisoners in their interaction with themselves. But of course, you as a volunteer would not engage in any of the prisoner's personal matters or personal business. In the prisoner society, you're never rat. The penalty is heavy, oftentimes death. And working in our nation's one of the most notorious prisons, the Angola facility, Louisiana State Penitentiary. I've seen some deaths which have occurred because of this prisoner society I've seen it being necessary to be loyal to fellow prisoners. It's us against them. Play it cool. Don't be a tough guy or tough gal. There's always somebody tougher than you in prison. Prisoner says, do your own time. Don't be concerned with other people's problems. Keep your word only to other prisoners and not to correctional officers. Don't steal from prisoners. The penalty is heavy. And that's an understanding in the prisoner society, how they interact with one another. And so volunteers, you need to know how prisoners relate to each other and how they have their own prisoner codes that you must also be aware of. In that prisoner society, they continue to say, don't sell favors. You do nothing for the man. Don't be a racketeer. Wait till you get out, then do your thing. Pay your debts. Penalty is harsh if you don't. Don't be weak. Weak guys wind up being a punk. Fight even if you lose. The rest of the prisoner population will respect you. Don't be a sucker. Distrust correctional officers. This is a must. The man will mess you over. That, my brothers and my sisters, is a part of the prisoner society and their code of ethics that they operate by. Well, there's the role of security in the correctional setting. Understand that security is the protector who maintains custody, control, and order. Understand what the volunteer can do to contribute to security and schedule continuity. Remember that officers are in charge of the institution. Security is not the enemy. It is the protector. Prisoners must have authority before they leave your area. Also understand that security is provided. It brings supervision with regular reports. Don't engage in conversation with prisoners that talk about other officers or the employees or the volunteers or the institution. Don't allow a prisoner to become too valuable in terms of assisting you. Also understand, end the ministry experience always on a positive note. Understand the role of discipline. Understand that there is a set of rules and procedures for prisoner discipline. And brothers and sisters, prisoners know the rules better than anybody. Understand the levels of discipline and the responsibility that he has in supporting the process. Violations are usually separated into two categories in terms of discipline in facilities. Major violations and minor. And every prisoner will have a book of discipline. Now, there are some do's for volunteers and there are some don'ts. But let me give you the do's when you're working in jails and prisons. Do be honest with prisoners. Do not make promises that you cannot deliver. But do be dependable. Do be patient. Do be prepared for setbacks and disappointments. Do give attention without expecting outward thanks. Do listen to the prisoner and learn how he or she feels. Do empathize, but do not sympathize or get personally involved. Do know the prisoner. Do discover the prisoner's strengths and weaknesses. Do respect confidences. Do be human, but do not over-identify. Do accept prisoners as individuals. Do be responsible and dependable. Do seek additional help when needed. Do watch out for con games. Remember where you are. You're in prison. Do give encouragement when needed. And please do set a good example as a Christian believer. Let me give you some don'ts for volunteers. Don't prejudge. Don't overreact to a prisoner's initial hostility. Don't preach to prisoners unless you're in a preaching ministry. Don't ask prisoners why they are in prison or for how long. When you really begin ministering, you'll find out they'll eventually tell you why they're in prison. And when they tell you, don't get all excited and act like you're so surprised. Don't make promises you cannot keep. Don't tell the prisoner, I'll see you next week, and you don't show up. Don't do for the prisoner what he or she can do for himself or herself. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't expect instant results. Don't over-identify. Don't give pat answers to the prisoner's difficult problems. Don't violate prisoners' confidences. Don't meddle your pet ideals in prison. Don't carry anything into or out of the prison without proper authorization. Don't hang around when your time is up. Don't express physical affection to prisoners. Don't blame yourself if prisoners don't make it on the outside and end up back in prison. And I must tell you, if there's one rule, one golden rule, that's really important in ministering in jails and prisons as a volunteer, is to remember this. Of all the do's and don'ts that we've talked about and that we have in our package that you could really follow, is don't give anything to or take anything from a prisoner. And the key word, my brothers and sisters, is anything. And then finally, you got to deal with dress code. Yes, dress codes for volunteers, they might differ from institution to institution, but there's a list of non-permitted clothing items that are considered inappropriate. Yes, how you dress, how you go to minister to prisoners is also very important. I had to fire a volunteer one time because he dressed coming to minister to the prisoners in his exercise clothes. And the prisoners even complained because in his time of ministering to them, what they realized was he was dressed to go to the exercise class after prison. They didn't feel that he came there with his mind to serve and minister to them, but in terms of where he was going afterwards. And so again, prisoners pick up even on how you dress. Clothing that is similar in appearance to the clothing worn by the unit prisoner's population should be avoided. Clothing that is similar in appearance to clothing worn by correctional officers. Transparent or see-through clothing, shirts, shorts, skorts, culottes, and dresses shorter than 3 inches above the kneecap or those with revealing slits or holes should be avoided. Tops that expose the midriff. All visitors must wear full-length skirts with sleeves. Blouses, shirts, and dresses that are low-cut that expose the upper torso should be avoided. Tight-fitting pants, not just for women. I'm talking about for fellas, too. Especially you're going into an all-male facility. And I have to tell the brothers oftentimes, you all look better than some of them sisters to the men who've been in prison 20 and 30 years. So avoid tight-fitting pants such as stirrups and spandex and lycra, spandex-like athletic pants, aerobic exercise pants, tights, or leotards. Avoid having underwear that is exposed. Males must wear underwear and females must wear bras and underwear. Clothing with revealing holes or tears 1 inch above the kneecap. Clothing or accessories with obscene or profane writing, images, or pictures. Gang or club-related clothing or insignia indicative of a gang affiliation. No shower shoes, no house slippers, or thong sandals are permitted. No hats or headgear except as required by religious beliefs. And then, of course, strapless tube and halter tops, tank tops, and strapless dresses are not permitted with or without cover-ups. And so again, brothers and sisters, remember where you are. You're in a facility where violence and apathy and fear and mistrust are real. You must understand the nature of jail and prison life. Security clearance must take place, registration and voluntary agreement form. Necessary in terms of some prisons and jails that you are engaged in. It is the policy of all correctional facilities to conduct security clearances, criminal background checks of all volunteers who serve or minister to prisons. In one's orientation, that can happen hopefully in the local church prior to going, and training provided by his or her denominational representative, prison ministry and criminal justice consultant, and or the prison officials, he or she will hear a lot about security as a priority of all security institutions. And as such, that notion of security will impact and affect all other programs, church services, plans, and activities at the institution. To begin the screening process, one must complete a voluntary information and agreement form provided by the correctional institution upon your check-in. The second phase to follow one's security clearance would be to complete any volunteer orientation and training required by the correctional facility. The prison officials will apprise the individual of the rules, policies, procedures, and pertinent regulations of the institution and Department of Corrections or Federal Bureau of Prisons. The third phase would be that of actual physical security screening once the volunteer arrives at the prison to provide ministry to the prisoners. This process will vary, of course, based upon the security level of the facility, which ranges from minimum to maximum security. And so finally, as I indicated before, we will be looking at the next podcast in terms of evidence-based preparatory strategies on how to get started in the local church, to include organizational structure, job descriptions and responsibilities, prophetic role of pastors in prison ministry, and criminal justice reform. And I hope you will join me and other persons in your networks for this most significant training podcast, scheduled each Sunday evening from 6 o'clock p.m. to about 6:30 p.m. You are cordially invited to join this movement toward relevant and redirected ministry to regenerate, reclaim, and restore returning citizens, strengthen families, and create safer communities. The orientation, the training, and certification are all necessary in terms of volunteers and members of the church having a regular prison ministry in jails and prison. And it's important that we engage in proactive advocacy and reactive strategies to prevent crime and reduce violence. As faithful believers in the dignity and worth of every human person, after you have completed the training through the Anthony Kelly Prison Ministry and Criminal Justice Training Workshop, you will be able to move from right belief, orthodoxy, to right action, orthopraxis, in sharing good news of Jesus Christ that brings spiritual health and wholeness to those who will hear his voice. Otherwise, the beat goes on. Let me refer you to my website so that you can look at the resource materials, the books, the publications, and the training workshop outline. And that is www.rrministriesinc.org. Again, www.rrministriesinc.org. And www.reverendrevanthonykelly.com. That's www.reverendrevanthonykelly.com. God bless you, and thank you for letting me share with you in this most significant ministry. God bless you, and may he keep you.